Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, what is the verse? 20. Verse number 20, first chapter. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vrishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upasthaste samahita tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vrishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vrishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vrishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahitaha. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Ladies. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Tatra gatva jagannatham deva devam vishakapim purusham purusha shuktena upataste samahita. Tatra, there on the shore of the ocean of milk. Gatva, after going. Jagannatham, unto the master of the entire universe, the supreme being. Deva devam, the supreme god of all gods. Vishakapim, the supreme person. Vishnu, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. Purusham, the supreme person. Purusha Shuktena, with a Vedic mantra known as Purusha Shukta. Upataste, worshipped. Samahita, with full attention. Translation. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigods such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, King Indra, Chandra, and Surya are all subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aside from the demigods, even the human society, there are many influential personalities supervising various businesses or establishments. Lord Vishnu, however, is the God of all gods, Parameshvara. He is Paramapurusha, the Supreme Being, Paramatma, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, 1st verse, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. No one is equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he is described here by many words, Jagannatha, Deva Deva, Vrishakapi, Purusha. The supremacy of Lord Vishnu is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 12th verse, in this statement by Arjun, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitam Paramam Bhavan Purusham Sasvatam Divyam Adi Devam Hajam Vibham. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primeval God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is Adi Purusha, the original personality of Godhead. Govindamaripurusham tamaham bhajami. Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, and all the Vishnu tattvas are a Parameshvaha, Deva Deva. Jai. Om Bhaganya Dhimarandasya Yananjana Salakaye Chaksur Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakavitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe, Brindamanishwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kapra Tubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyebacha, Patitanham Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupayantite. So when Sarvapama Prabhu was doing arti, I was remembering when I had the opportunity to, when Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur and Vrindavan, and I had the opportunity during the Mayapur festival and Janmashtami to be able to do arti to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would, you know, give looks out to who was chanting and who was doing puja. And then he would look out in a very humble mood while accepting pranams, because Prabhupada would always accept pranams, but he'd always give them back to his spiritual master. So when Sarvapama was doing artika, thank you, it was, Prabhupada seemed to be present today, because during the opening of the deities, if you notice, maybe it happens regularly here for you, but the sunlight was directly on Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked like he was glowing. So he must have established his mercy and blessed all the devotees that participated in his Guru Puja. And Kishore Kishore must be very pleased with the temple, that the sun himself is shining light onto the blessings of the spiritual master who's giving his blessings to all the devotees. So in that light, I thank you for the opportunity of remembering Srila Prabhupada and his blessing everyone. In this verse, it is very important. Every word in this verse, practically speaking, Jagannatham, Deva Deva, Vishakapim, Purusham, Purushakshuktena, you know, all these different mantras are explaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are here as the devotees of our lineage. And then our lineage is what? The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Everyone knows that. That's what they're part of. But what is it actually? Lord Krishna inspired into the heart of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma, when he appeared on the lotus flower, there was nothing. He looked around and there was nothing. There was all darkness. And he had no other person. He had no other guide. And he was praying and he heard from this voice, said what? Tapa, austerities. Why perform austerities? The only person there. What do you mean perform austerities? So yet he did. He followed that instruction. And what happened? Krishna came in the form of the Gayatri Mantra, which came all the way descending from the spiritual world. And he came into his heart and he enlightened him with the Brahmagan, the actual Atma Tattva, the real truth of the Supreme Lord. There, he was able to see the actual manifestation of Vrindavan and see Krishna in the past him. He entered that heart. And so as Brahma is the head of our Sampradaya, similarly he instructed. He instructed who else next? I'm seeing if you know this. Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni instructed so many different persons. And coming all the way down to Veda Vyas. And Veda Vyas was also a partial incarnation of Krishna. Who else can write down the thousands upon thousands of verses we find in the Vedas and in the Brahmanas and in the Upanishads and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Itihasyas, histories, Mahabharata, and all these different, it's impossible for any person to simply manifest these literatures out of the mental speculation of their own brain. So, and what are they all saying? What did Lord Brahma say? It's also in Prabhupada gave in his purport twice. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anhadir Adhir Govinda Savakana Karanam. Who is that supreme? Krishna, also known as Govinda. So sometimes some unauthorized personalities go, what is this Govinda? Where do we see? But it's also in other shastras, other than the Brahma Samhita, it is also in the Svetashvipara Upanishad. And other places we're explained that cowherd person, Govinda, is the supreme person. In the Rig Veda, it's also mentioning that supreme person, he takes the form of this cowherd boy in bluish. And this is in the first Vedas that was taking place many, 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 many thousands and thousands of years ago and coming downward. And then what is happening here? There's disturbances in the society. And so the different demigods, they're come together, and to what is the problems happening here on this earth planet? There are so many kshatriyas that are very strong, but they're not following scriptural injunctions, and therefore this earth planet, which is meant to be symbolic of the world of Sri Krishna, Sri Vishnu, has become rotten with so many different strong personalities that are simply trying for their own aggrandizement. So they're coming in great humility and coming to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, being the representative, also the eldest person, the original person within this universe, he is going to his authority. And therefore he goes to Lord Vishnu on the shore of the milk ocean. And there what he's doing is praying that there is so much disturbance that please come. Just like a Dvaitacharya, who was Mahavishnu himself, was playing, watering the shalagram, putting tulsi leaves and praying, please, Lord Chaitanya, please come, please come. So similarly, Lord Brahma went and he was pleading to Lord Vishnu that you please come. And from that time, he heard that's coming down. Lord Vishnu said Krishna himself had given the information that all of you demigods, you should take birth in the families of the Yadu dynasty, and some of the demigods and demigoddesses just to take birth, because very shortly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, will himself come personally. So if we look at the world today, is it any less disturbed than at the time when the demigods went to Lord Brahma and requested their help? We're seeing, yes. So we're seeing even more so that the planet is being disrupted by unauthorized stealing propensities. We're seeing there's can't even get clean water, food, deserts are growing because, you know, inappropriate use, and everything is an exploiting mentality. The businesses have become larger than countries, and they run countries and corporations, and their business is only profit, which means only exploitation. So at this time, it's very precarious. There are so many dangerous weapons that have been distributed to, you know, literally insane people, and they have no background or no desire to follow any of God's laws. They may present themselves as religious, but their activities are not by any means religious. So we are also in a very precarious time. But Lord Chaitanya has already dissented previously, 500 years ago. So what's happening? That during this time, the Yuga Dharma for this particular age is Harinam Sankirtan. So Harinam Sankirtan started in the little house of Srivas, the Srivas Sangha in Mayapur, where Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Srivas Pandit, and a few others who selected very high personalities, and they started chanting in a closed environment, not to the public. But gradually, more people wanted to attend, and more people wanted to come in. And so Lord Chaitanya, from that nucleus in Srivasanga started to spread out the Harinam Sankirtan to the town of Navadvip, and then to the different surrounding villages within the Mayapur Navadvip area, and then all through Bengal. And then coming down, there were many, many demigods, many, many internal devotees, many, many pure associates from Radha Krishna Lila that came down to help and also to preach in Kali Yuga. They took disciples also, all under the wing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And gradually, over the next 500 years, the name started spreading. And the devotees who almost was lost are Sampradaya's teachings because of the influence of the Sahajas. So thinking that Sahaja means basically, I'm thinking, I want to take a shortcut. I'm just going to jump up and I'm thinking, oh, yes, I'm a gopi. I am also Krishna, and therefore I can enjoy like Krishna. All these kinds of things were taking place. And Vaishnavism back in the early parts of the 1800s and 1700s, outside of Vrindavan and Jayapur area there, had become into ill repute. Because so many bogus followers and so many upasampradayas were claiming to be the true followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their business was simply to enjoy material life. So at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually very strictly started preaching and establishing, because he understood the messages of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was sent, and he would relish those. And then he would also spend his time in also writing the literatures and explaining the literatures as they were coming down from the six Goswamis. He also founded the where we know now as Mayapur, because it had become lost. And it had been, then when he brought them there, Jagannath Das Babaji, who was over 120 at that time, he was being carried in a basket by one of his servants. He couldn't even open his eyes because his eyelids had went over his eyes, and his body was over 120 years old, but his spirit, because we know we're not these bodies, was still just like a youth of 16 years old. So at that time, when he came in contact with Mayapur, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought him, he jumped up out of his basket and started, "Hurrah!" In this way, Jagannath Das Babaji confirmed the holy birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission has been carried on from that time. We know that he was praying. He was praying to the Supreme Lord, Bhaktivinoda, for a ray of Vishnu. He wants someone who could come, who could carry this on, because there is so much work to do. What can one person do like myself? So he prayed. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had several sons. Some were nice devotees. Some were antagonistic, as can happen in anyone's family. But one of his sons, of course, would go to all the different preaching programs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave. And he would carry his books, and he would listen. He would help out his father in so many ways. And that son later became Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Because even when Bhakti Siddhanta was young, he was in his teens. He was known as he was fantastic in math. He was known as the best astrologer in all of Bengal, and perhaps all of the world at that time. That he wrote his Surya Siddhanta, and he was awarded the title of Saraswati, Siddhanta Saraswati. So this stuck also, that because Bhakti Siddhanta was a Naistic Brahmachari for his whole life, his only goal was to please C.C. Radha and Krishna. So he founded a larger society just by his preaching. Gradually, his strong preaching, more and more Krishna had sent different devotees and planted them in different places that would gradually become absorbed into Krishna consciousness by the preaching of Bhakti Siddhanta. So then so many wonderful elevated personalities came from Bhakti Siddhanta. And of course, one of them who was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896, that someone will come who will preach all of Sri Chaitanya's mission all over the whole world. And as I said in that one of the Sunday classes I gave, we were sitting in Srila Prabhupada's temple who actually performed that miracle. It's a miracle. Why? Because nothing had came out of India. There was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers that went to London, and one of his godbrothers was in Germany. The Germany devotee tried his best. He was favorable, very favorable to Prabhupada, but nothing much established. The other devotees that was sent to London were not successful because they were trying to merge everything into the common societies it was, and this wasn't successful. So Prabhupada was a grihastha. And as a grihastha, he was running his businesses. He had some medical businesses, and he was a manager. But progressively, that he was married, had sons, daughters like this. But progressively, the time was coming. He was had to leave Calcutta area, came to Allahabad, and in Allahabad, that he would live with Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar from some time. There would be some battling between, as you see sometimes in Kali Yuga, between husband and wife, and there was some battling there. His wife ended up not being very favorable to what Srila Prabhupada wanted to follow more and more the principles. His wife didn't want to give up tea and some of the different things. So eventually, was preaching at that time. And then he started to have dreams that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would come into his dreams and tell him, you have to take sannyas and preach. And go. And so Prabhupada would say something. He'd become some fearful at some of this. That, you know, because Prabhupada, I said in another class before, because Prabhupada had said that he had heard many of the classes that Bhaktisiddhanta would preach, that if Krishna is very favorable, he will take everything from you. Take your wife and son and children and properties and business and jobs and everything, and make you simply dependent upon him, his mercy. So that Prabhupada was intelligent enough to see this was happening in his own life, following the instruction of his spiritual master. So gradually, he left everything, and he went to Vrindavan, and he was penniless. He started some businesses there, but that some of those actually failed over time. He was a representative of a pharmaceutical company. He'd go to the different places, but in time, that also failed. So Krishna was taking all the things that you were dependent away from Prabhupada. And so he ended up staying in Vrindavan. And then he transferred to Radha Damodar's temple, and there he had a little room. Those of you that go to Vrindavan can visit. Prabhupada's room was just a little chattai, and he had a little stove, and there really was not much else in that room. And so there he stayed, and every day he would go to Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And he'd pray and he'd sing every day, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And then he would be chanting. And there he would also be visiting the different samadhis of the different elevated Vaishnavas who were also there. Either the Pushpa Samadhi or the original samadhi was there. And he'd pray every day to Rupa Goswami. And, you know, tearly, for all you hear, I've heard from the devotees that were there. When Prabhupada was there, very tearful eyes, sometimes you could hear him crying. And then he would pray in front of Radha Damodar, and there in Radha Damodar, the deity there was very merciful, and there you can also see Krishna's feet, that the pujari is favorable to you. There's so many things, mystical things that are for Krishna. So Prabhupada struggled, and then one of the devotees from his that he knew previously from the Gaudiya Samiti, which Prabhupada also founded, had come to him, and they would encouraged him that you should take sannyas. So when Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Goswami, who was like head of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, came into Mathura, they were given the opportunity to go there. And of course, we know the story that Prabhupada also took sannyas in 1959, and from that point forward, he went preaching to Jaipur, and went preaching to forgot the other place name of it. Anyway, and then he had established the League of Devotees, and then the League of Devotees was like the forerunner for ISKCON. So from that point in time, why am I mentioning this? Because Krishna has also appeared. Now, he's appeared through his holy name. He's appeared because right now in this temple room, between the spiritual masters, the achavigrahas of the deities, they're actually here. They're here in Chicago. And we're in their presence. Not only is Krishna in the heart as the Chaita Guru, but he's also here in his holy name. He's also here in the deities. He's also here in the services that he's given all of you. So, but what we don't remember, sometimes we forget that we have signed on the dotted line. As when we took initiation, whomever your guru is, we took initiation into this Gaudiya Sampradaya. We pledged, wrote a right hand, we promised to follow the regular principles. And what also, we now are a member of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, which means we have to preach. We have to, we may not be big preachers, may not be very qualified, we may not be very even understanding all the things in our own spiritual tradition, but whatever it is, we know we have to give. And we have to give others. Because why? Everyone is suffering this material world. Everyone. Birth. Ignorant. They don't know that they're spirit soul. Even if they think know they're spirit soul because of the Western religions, there's no knowledge about it. So they're confusing the body and the spirit. We have this material body. It's a covering, just like a blanket's covering. But we don't confuse. We think the blanket or the chadar that you're wearing is you. Similarly, this body that we have is because we have form. We have spiritual form. And amongst all the 8,400,000 different species of life, this human form of life, of which there's 400,000, is the epitome in that form. Now, all the 400,000 species aren't on this planet. They're all over distributed all throughout the universe. But in this form means we've migrated up to this platform. And the human form of life is meant to understand. You have the sufficient of intelligence to understand what is my predicament? Why am I suffering? Who am I? Who is God? What am I supposed to do? This whole Bhagavatam is being preached by Sukadev Goswami, preaching to Maharaj Parikshi. What is my duty for one who's about to die at the time of death? And that's all of us. What is our duty? So we've taken a vow. We've come in contact with the spiritual master. We've started the process of devotional service. Now the process comes to us. When will we become conscious? So what is it I can do? All of us have some ability. Because why? We're all sons and daughters originally coming from Krishna. We're his parts and parcels, Jiva Shakti. So all of us have some Shakti. All of us have some propensities. Some gifts, we may not have all beauty, all fame, all strength, all knowledge, all wealth, all renunciation, like Krishna has 100%, but we have something, some tiny, tiny, tiny little bit. So our business is to dovetail whatever energies we have in the service of Krishna. You don't have to only be brahmacharis or only sannyasis or only grihasthas or vanapras. Whatever your position is, you can reign in devotional service. Sometimes only the sannyasis can preach. Why? Everyone's supposed to preach, whatever our position is. And what is that preaching? Sometimes it just means giving someone prasadam. Someone's just explaining, seeing someone suffering, kindness, giving them some knowledge. Because why are they suffering? Because of the platform ignorance. I am thinking, I am this body, I am black, I am white, I'm old, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm male, I'm female. And then we have all these misconceptions. The mind means misconception. It's material. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So what is the mind is material. Therefore, it can only think of material experiences that we've had. So Krishna consciousness activities, and that means the mind is basically, for the most part, everybody who's practically not a devotee, it's under misconception. It thinks us, we are this body, we're Americans, we're Indians, we're Africans, we're male, female, all these is a misconception from who we are. Because what is that when we were born, the emulsification of the semen and the egg from the woman, the ovum, what happens? We grow from that. So what was in that? Just some mixing of chemicals? The soul is there. So the soul is actually who we are. But how do we act on the soul platform and not on the bodily platform? It means that if the mind is misconception and misdirected most of the time, then we have to understand what is the spiritual act. Therefore, devotional activities called bhakti or devotional service are meant to do what? Just like Prabhupada would say, if you put an iron rod is not spiritual. It's not fire. But if you put it in the fire, by having it associate with the qualities of fire, it becomes hot and it can burn just like fire. Similar, our mind is material. It won't take us to this. It can't give us spiritual education. We can study and read, but it can't give us the experience because it's material. But devotional service and bhakti is spiritual. Therefore, we engage in these devotional activities, what? To train our mind to think about Krishna. To train, do activities so we become attached to Krishna. As we develop in devotional service, what is happening? Our shraddha, the initial faith, grows. It's not, we can't reach Krishna by reading all the books, just reading the books from a mental platform. Devotional service is not given that way. Sorry. Otherwise, we'd have a bunch of pure devotees walking around. I read all the books, therefore, you know, I'm now going to the spiritual world. No, you may have some knowledge, that's nice, but you won't have the experience. Do the sahajas have that? We're reading, I'm thinking, what? I am now a sakhi. I'm a resident of Vrindavan already. And therefore, what happens? They become debauchees. Why? Because the platform of anartha nivritti did not take place. Anartha nivritti means when you're actually following devotional principles under the direction of guru, following the instructions of guru, and you're practicing devotional service, that's called bhajana kriya, then you go to the next platform, anartha nivritti. That means the unwanted horrible junk that's been in our mind, in our consciousness for many, many, many births, starts being cleared away, because that's the actual process. And why is that the process? Because by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, advanced devotees, then by that hearing process, you start to wake up, you start realizing I'm not this body, and by following the instructions, the next thing you start seeing is how horrible person I am. I have so much, anger, greed, lust. I mean, it's like, and then you think, I got more problem. I'm more identified with Duryodhana than I can with the devotees, practically, because of all the junk that's been in my heart. But by following that process, because one surrendering and taking the platform, and then he sees himself as humble. Trinadapi sunuchena, tororapi suhisnuna, amena manadena kirtina sadahari. Then from that humble platform, he sees, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not a big anything. If anything, I'm a big aparadi. So what happens then? The unwanted things, Krishna starts sweeping them away. Because that is the process. So then when one goes to the anartha nivritti, the next stage is, once that's faith becomes steady, then he goes to the platform of nista, and that usually is the platform of madhyamadhikari. Why do we say this? We have to know what the goal is, where we're trying to go. We said that in one of my other classes, but the difference is that's important, but also we should see how Krishna is in our heart. When we realize that we are part and parcel of Krishna, that we are servants of our spiritual master and Krishna, then at some point, that's all we're going to want to do. They'll become lessened, the idea of thinking, name, fame, adoration, profit, distinction. These will just become like, I'm going to be like miles from that. Because that has nothing to do with my eternal position. Otherwise, this body will be given up. We'll have to give it up. Male, female, big devotee, small devotee, famous devotee, unfamous devotee. You'll have to give up this body. It's already going to be finished. And, you know, those of us that hit past 50 and, you know, hitting Sarvapaman and Mahabodhi stages, that we're old men. We know, and we go, where did that come from? We just look in the mirror and all of a sudden, you know, our teeth are gone, our hair starts falling out. You know, I can't see as well. I have to get some glasses. And now we're wearing hearing aids and we go, you know. So, you know, whoop, guess what? You're getting notice. Krishna's telling us, we don't have so much time left. So the materialists, what do they do when they want to die? They want to grab all the everything they can to try to enjoy. And, you know, and then they're crying, I'm leaving this world. Oh, I wanted so many things I didn't get. Yes, you get a chance to come back and you enjoy this big high-rise as a dog, you know. So the platformists, we've been woken up a little bit. Jeev Jago. And we're given the opportunity, great opportunity, to come in contact with a pure movement of actually Krishna. Krishna's waking us up. We've been come in contact with pure devotees. So this platform where Krishna, with all the demigods, they're now in proper consciousness and they're going to the banks of the milk ocean, they're praying, the Purusha Shukta. Sahasra Sirsa Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabum Bim Bishvata Bhitva. I'll leave it at that. Although we could chant the whole Purusha Shukta, but anyway. They're praying. And what is that Purusha Shukta saying? They're worshiping the Lord of everything. Everything, and just like in this verse, everything is Krishna's. He is the supreme God of gods. He is the Lord of all. He is the person who mitigates all the suffering of all the living entities. He is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme controller. He is the same supreme person. He's the oldest of the oldest. He is the original cause of all causes. So they know that, and they're praying. And then they're praying that that Purusha Shukta, that he may come. And that whole Purusha Shukta, that same supreme person, you also become part of the fire. You become the sacrifice, because we're sacrificing to you. But you sacrifice, by your sacrifice, everyone becomes pleased. The entire universe becomes mitigated of all craziness and aparads. Therefore, they're praying, please come. Please, O Lord. Not they're praying to some energy that has no form. No, they're not in that ignorance. They're praying to us that supreme proof has all form. We have form because God has form. Otherwise, how do you have form? Very simple. Even children understand this. Our fathers, our mothers had form, therefore you have form. So those who want to become formless and become, you know, want to merge into God, you know, stay 5,000 miles from them. Because we're devotees. We want to become, we want to serve Kishore Kishore. We want to enter into their world. We want to go to their pastimes. We want to participate as a servant of a servant of a servant, as a maid servant of Srimati Radharani, or as a Sakha for Lord Krishna, whatever your desire for spiritual life. We want to enter into that realm, not just mentally imagine ourselves there, but we want to enter it. We know by the great devotees, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sri Goswami, they actually entered into the pastimes. They weren't just, we're not just reading and hearing these things because it's nice, they're nice stories and fables. Just like the materialist, he thinks everything in the Vedas are simply mythological. We don't take that platform. We believe what we've heard. We have the faith to hear from a pure devotee, even though we may not realize anything, by accepting his platform and having that faith, the Shraddha growed. And as the Shraddha grows, we can even see in our own devotional lives, by following that process, gradually we're actually getting to know something, except in my case, but for all of you, I'm sure, there is some spiritual effect that's going on. Why would you go to Kirtan? Why would you come to Mangal Arati? Why would you come to greeting the deities or Guru Pooja if there was not something in the heart? No one's forcing you by the whip. I don't think our temple presence here is pointing a gun to your head. You must come and render service. You have some taste. Therefore, you're coming. But the mercy that we're getting is that we have to pay that back. We have to pay that back. And how do we pay that back? Prabhupada called me the first time he saw me, he called me a creepina. And I was. He called me a miser. Because what did he say? Then I said, he said, you know, why are you a creepina? And I'm going, I had no idea what a creepina is. Like, but I'm, you know, creepina means miser. Now I'm angry. Why are you calling me a miser? I didn't say it, but I'm angry now. And then he explained the next verse. It is opposite of brahmana. Because you have knowledge, you have ability, you have things, but you're not using them for Krishna. You're trying for yourself. Therefore, you are creepina. And I, the rest of the time for the whole thing, I was thinking, why are you calling me a creepina miser? I haven't even met him yet, and he's calling me a miser. But actually, you know, I was. So if some of you may have some abilities or some material aspects, some beauty, some fame, some knowledge, some wealth, some strength, renunciation, we meant whatever we can, please give that service to Krishna. The temple is needing so many services. Krishna needs so many services. There's more room for millions upon millions of people, not just a few people in the temple here. All over the planet. So whatever you can do, you should try to please dovetail it in the service of Krishna. Why? Then Krishna will work through you. Then you want to see Krishna's manifestation. You'll see it also in your own self. The things that you do, won't be doing it. You can be an instrument for Krishna. And all these things happen. Then you be sure to offer them back to Krishna because you know that you haven't done them, but Krishna's using you. And if he's using you, I guarantee you, you will not have any other happier position in this material world than to be an instrument for Krishna and Radha and Krishna. And how to be an instrument? Be sincere. chant the holy name. When you pray, not everything is just like we just say prayers and we just like run through them. And just like, we grab with them. We don't know what they mean. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Our business here. The devotees are being sent to help us. Krishna's Kishore Kishore is here to give blessings. We can't see Krishna and Radha and Krishna with our eyes currently right now because they're contaminated by this material body. But they're coming in front of us so they accept our service. So render service. Develop your relationship. Tulsi is worshipped every day. In the Tulsi Puja, tonight I'd love to throw some water on her. Hari Bhagavad, Tulsi Dev, Hari Kesava, Sarva, three times, Hari Krishna. Establish a relationship with Tulsi. Why? Because you're not going to the spiritual world if you don't have a relationship with Tulsi, if you don't have a relationship with the devotees, if you don't know what your sambandha relationship with Radha and Krishna is. How do you think I'm going to perform on my service? I immediately go back to the spiritual world. You're not qualified. Prabhupada will give mercy, but that mercy also means we have to do two things. We have to put the endeavor in and then kripa. Not that I'm 100% on kripa, except in my case. I'm 100% on kripa because the endeavor, that I'm not doing any endeavor because, that's just too much, too hard. Why should I, Krishna will just, he'll give me and make me a millionaire. I'll sit back and everything, just enjoy. No, our position is not enjoyers. We're servants. So we're praying for service. So when Krishna gives service, I don't think I want to do that. Our Dini Mati comes in, can you do RT? Can you, do this? That's not a good day today. Maybe another day. So then it's hard enough to find devotees who want to render devotional service. When someone knocks on the door, there's an opportunity. My God, there's an opportunity. Krishna's giving you that opportunity. It's not that, it's chance, Prabhu. Everything's happening by chance. We don't believe that. So when you're getting an opportunity to serve, Krishna's actually saying, is he serious? Does he want to serve me, or is he just, waiting for prasadam to have so I can fill my stomach? So if we're doing all these things, and I'm not saying any of you are doing this. I'm saying this to myself, because I know Krishna also knocks on my door, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. Oops, I have to, surrender. Yikes. But that's our business. And as we surrender, whatever step we take to Krishna, Krishna will take back to us. 10 more. So in this verse, the demigods are praying, and they know, they're knowing that supreme person. They're praying to him, because everyone's in knowledge. I'm not here in this material world. I'm in this material world because what? I'm covered over. I didn't choose the eternal three-quartered spiritual world. I thought, hey, this is a good place. Let me try to enjoy a little bit. So we got put in this material world, covered over by Lord Shiva. So we got this hunkar thinking, I am this body, I can enjoy, I'm a big Jiva, so I can, I'm going to control the universe. Actually, Vishnu should move over. I should probably sit on his Vyasasan and everyone should worship me. Unfortunately, our mentality is something like that. We think, not me, I'm a good guy. But actually, when we think about it, we're the I, me, and mine. This is a problem. As we develop devotional service, we start trying to hold on to these material designations. And, we have to be like Draupadi. As long as Draupadi was trying to hold her sari from being pulled off, she wasn't that successful. But when she threw her hands up, hey Bhagavan, hey Krishna, then what did Krishna? Oh, they called me. Krishna could have came any time. Someone may say he could have stopped the gambling of Yudhisthira. He could have done all these, but no one called on him. It was only Draupadi. He finally said, hey Bhagavan, hey Krishna, please come. And then immediately came. He could have stopped the whole Mahabharata, but Yudhisthira didn't call upon Krishna. He was absorbed in gambling. I said this in the other Bhagavatam class, I think, the last time I gave. But anyway, that's an important part. So we should always think we're part and parcels of Krishna. We're surrendered to Prabhupada. We're surrendered to our gurus. We're in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. What can I do to help? I may not be might have very good qualities, might not, I don't know anything. Someone put me in the kitchen, I'd probably go, maybe I can cut some vegetables or something. I don't know what, I'm not very qualified. I couldn't do some of the services the lady's doing with all flowers and stuff. I'd make a flower vase and kind of look like a skeleton or something. But the difference is there's so many wonderful services that the devotees have. And when you're given an opportunity to do it, we should say, my God, Krishna's giving me an opportunity to serve him. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Really? What are we doing here? You come to be a devotee, then be the best you can. Ask Krishna, please take this body and whatever nonsense, useless, lack of abilities I have, please do something with it so I can be useful in your service.
And then you see, we see, read in the Bhagavad, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that, you know, blind men can see, lame men can walk mountains, all these things. Why? Because Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's the supreme controller. You may not be qualified, but he can give qualifications to you because you're trying to serve him. But if we think, oh yeah, that's me, I am that, then we're back here to where Mahabodhi got beaten up in Chicago here for thinking, yeah, I'm a great book distributor. I'm in the Sankirtan newsletter every month. Everyone's just glorifying me. Yeah, I've done all this. And then what happened? Smash, Kishore, you go, pow, pow. I was ready to give up my life. I was walking out to the lake. That's it, finished. And then when I finally got to the point of I'm useless, then Prabhupada called me back, engagement in service. But it wasn't to the point that I realized I'm not doing any of this stuff. And then it ain't me. I'm, if anything, have no redeeming qualities, but Krishna's, Prabhupada's allowing me to render some service, being an instrument in what things he wants to be done. So we should be so thankful if we were used like that. We as grihasas or brahmacharis or vanaprasas, sannyasis, think that we're big devotees. If anything, we're trying to just be, hang on to be the servant of the servant, hang on to the coattails of Srila Prabhupada and those great acharyas that came in front of us, that somehow, even though we have no qualifications, they're allowing us to render some service. They're putting us in positions and asking us for activity to serve. Why? Who are we serving? We're serving the Supreme Lord. We're his parts and parcels. So sometimes we have to wake up. Here's why we're here. So sometimes these classes are kind of the class of me. Why? Because everyone here, I don't have to do the preach. If I was like outside, I'd have to explain how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'd give a whole separate lecture like that. But you guys already know that. At least you should know that. So therefore, what are we doing here? What is our position? We're in temple, outside of the temple, doesn't matter. You can have deities at home. You can offer Krishna at home. You can offer Krishna when you're here. This is an opportunity. This is the center of business. ISKCON Chicago for Chicago here, and the other ISKCON temple in Naperville. This is the business centers for Krishna's activities. So you should be so fortunate someone asks you to do something. My God. Otherwise, we're sitting going, what? I come and I'll stand in the back, and Krishna calls me, then maybe I'll do something. No, we should be eager to render service, eager to chant. Though when we wake up and chant in the morning, we should chant. When what is that chanting and hearing, not letting our mind going all over the place, where it says in the Bhagavad, from wherever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its unsteady and flickering nature, one has to bring it back under the control of the self. That means chanting Hare Krishna, hearing and chanting, and hearing the mantra and chanting, and thinking, if you have to think of something, thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Gornitai, the different devotional service, Srila Prabhupada, your Guru Maharaj's instructions, something like that. So then your mind needs to be engaged in focusing on hearing about and remembering Krishna. That's why it's bhakti, because the mind's material. By associating with devotional service and chanting the holy names, the mind becomes pushed into parameters, and gradually it'll become attracted to all these wonderful pastimes and activities and won't want to go anywhere else. That's the process of bhakti. Because the mind is unbridled right now. It's going all over the place. So we have to bring it back on and have it surrender to the literature. Have it surrender to the devotional activities. Have it surrender to the opportunities of associating with devotees and chanting. So this is I didn't intend this class to be like it is, but I'm thinking, you are all devotees here. I don't need to preach who Krishna is, but we need to purify our hearts. And my preaching is not preaching against you or at you. It's like my own self. I'm also at fault. I'm a devotee. I'm trying to be a devotee. I'm direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'm in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya line. So I should be trying to do something. Yes? So what about yourselves? You can look in your own heart. Should I be doing something, or am I hanging out and complaining, or not? I'm not a big devotee, therefore I can't really do. No, who's a big devotee? Big devotee means you're following the instruction of your spiritual master. Then you're a big devotee. Not that I have no abilities, nothing. Your ability is limited by you, no one else. If you want to engage in service, whatever, find service. I remember when I was traveling back to Bhakti Tirtha Swami, we would travel like 5 years together. One thing I was really appreciative of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is when he came to the temple, We would only be in a temple for a day or two. We're lucky we were in a temple for any time longer than 3 days. We, you know, visit, gone, and we're in vans and going over. But immediately he touched down in whatever temple it was in, all over the world, in Europe or America or Africa or Eastern Europe, when we were out of these places, he'd immediately engage, do something. He would, you know, do Tulsi and do Artik, you know, chant, go help in the kitchen. He would just like, you know, I was kind of selective. Maybe I'm, you know, going to read a little bit, or I'm going to do this, or, you know. But he would just immediately engage himself in the temple like he was the temple devotee, or there. It didn't matter what service he was doing, just as long as he was doing service, so that no time was be wasted. So we can take advantage like that for association devotees. Prabhupada, in Prabhupada's association, I can tell you right now, I never saw him sleep. I never saw a minute that he was just like, let me just kicking back and resting a little bit. He'd have devotees coming in all day, meetings all day, management issues, letters, translation, offering, preaching engagement, stuff like that. None of us could do that. I'm sorry. We have some of the Maharajas that are doing similar things now. But Prabhupada would gauge his whole day. And then at night, instead of like, we'd all be crashed out, Prabhupada, I'd never see him, because I was there in the evening also. I'd never see him sleep. So he would lay on his bed sometimes, Hare Krishna. And then you'd hear chanting the holy name. So, I consciously sleeping, that's one of the things we understood. As one makes advancement in devotional service, then one's sleeping goes down, and he wants to use every moment in Krishna's service, not like space it out. You know, maybe I'll give 2 hours to Krishna and chant, and then I'll go in Maya for like 12 or 15, and then come back for another hour in the evening or something. We think, yeah, I'm doing devotional service. No. Devotional service basically comes, what is sadhana, real sadhana, if you want to, you know, map us up to where we're at, to where, let's take a Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami. 4 hours a day, they would chant japa. 4 hours a day, they would spend in glorifying the holy Dham, Tulsi, the different places of pastimes. And then another several hours, they would be offering prayers to, you know, the Mother Yasoda and Mother and Father Nanda and all the residents in Vrindavan. And then they would chant. So their whole 24 hours a day. So if you want to know what sadhana is, that's what the real sadhana is. And anyone who follows that, because if you read the 8th verse of Upadesharmita, where Rupa Goswami said and Prabhupada said, this is the goal of what we're life. Anyone following, practicing like that, immediately they'll go back to Godhead. So we should understand where our goal should be. We may not be there or even close to it, but we should understand this is what you signed up for. So if you're in college, I hope you're thinking of graduating, right? If you don't just enter college just to take a, you know, let me just take a few classes and next 20 years or something like that. You should have a goal. I want to get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, whatever it is that your goal. So we're in this movement that's meant to serve Radha and Krishna, and she should go into tie. And we're put into different levels, and so now it's up to us to have that enthusiasm. It's us to have that inspiration to want to know more and hear and to associate with devotees and learn and work on my anarthas and, you know, try to be a better servant of Krishna. At least have that desire in our heart. Then Krishna can work on you. But if we're kind of like not thinking of any of those things, then we're missing out in the entire devotional practice. We're doing devotional service, but it's a boss. It's sort of like a shadow. So we should be thankful whenever we come in contact with, you know, advanced devotee, or whenever someone like, you know, Prabhupada Maharaj is preaching and there's programs, you should go. There's different things. Maybe you can't go, you're working something, but you should feel lamenting in your heart. Oh, I have to do these things. What a useless I am. Rather than going and hearing Hari Katha, working some hospital, some bogus masters, you know, pound, shilling, and pence. We should feel like that. Not, yes, I am a big manager, and I got hundreds of people under me, and they do what I say, and I'm big. This is just taking us away from Krishna. So those of you who have full-time opportunities to render service to Krishna, you're very fortunate. Don't lose that. If you do, you have to struggle more. Sometimes they say, as a grihastha, I don't want to offend anyone, but the brahmacharis can hear this. Sometimes you start as a brahmachari, then you get a grihastha, and you're lucky at the end of the time of grihastha, you come back to where you were as a brahmachari. So it's kind of like, what was the last 40 years? I just was, you know. There, you certainly can make advancement. But at the same time, because there's so many other things you have to do. Children, you have to care for children and education and homes and this. You have many, many activities. So if you're a brahmacharya, you don't have all those activities, or brahmacharini, you can serve Krishna and that becomes your full time. But if you can't do that, grihastha life is fine, but you have to realize you have to then make sure you implant Krishna's service in your day. Not just I go for weeks, I haven't read anything, I haven't heard anything, I haven't went to temple, I haven't done it for six. You know, I went from 16 rounds to four. You go the up, you're going the opposite direction. So if you find yourself in that thing, then you have to stop, surrender, and, you know, start reading, hearing, and chanting, and put that back into your life. Then if you do that and make that a habit, then grihastha ashram is fine. If you don't, you'll drift back the other way. Then you need to be able to stop it and move forward. Brahmacharya should also be very strict in following the process. Be anugatya, which was the word I was looking for, under the instruction of the spiritual master, and you'll be protected. Vanapras means I'm becoming detached, gradually becoming detached from all these material attachments that I allowed myself to accumulate over many years. And sannyas means not that I'm recognized by everyone and now I get the Mahaprasadam and everyone chants Jai Maharaj, that's not nature of taking sannyas. Means that all these material things are finished. I want to finish that. I want to render my tongue, my words, my body, my mind, and serve at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And in doing that, I'm dedicating my life to that. So all the different ashrams have different focuses, but they're all meant to serve Krishna. I don't have a watch, so I don't know if I'm over at the same time. Are we okay or what? Do I have time still for questions? Okay. First, I apologize for giving. This is more like an istagosi class, not usually my style, but I didn't think in this verse, it's all about Krishna, that we have to let everyone know about Krishna. I think we have to know about our heart, how are we surrendering and serving Krishna. And if there's anything devotees can do is help inspire that, we should become more dedicated to try to do that to our best ability. So I apologize if I offended anyone. Huh? Well, if it is, it's there by their mercy. Any questions, additions, corrections? I'm sure I said something wrong.
Hare Krishna. Mahabodhi Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were essentially mentioning Hare Krishna. And I'm not usually soft-spoken anyway.
I'm old man. My ears, even my earphones, my earplugs are still turned on, but it's like, what? Go ahead.
Well, you were mentioning Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and one of my favorite pastimes has to do with kind of answering this question from the Bhagavatam in chapter 89 of Christian book, who is the supreme controller, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva? We hear that Brahma represents creation, Vishnu maintenance, and Shiva destroyer. And so we could see that in our relationships, creating a relationship with anyone is easy, destroying a relationship is even easier, and Vishnu is the maintainer, how to maintain our relationship. So one thing I appreciate what Prabhupada told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is that maybe you could elaborate on this story, because we hear from, you know, from the YouTube videos where Bhakti Tirtha is explaining himself, but basically Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was explaining that when he first came to the movement, he saw that there was some prejudice. He said, I could have been proud too. I was proud of my education, but he was essentially saying, told Prabhupada this incident, and Prabhupada essentially said that you may not always be able to maintain your relationships all the time, but you can always maintain your Krishna consciousness, your peace of mind. And we see that with Prahlad. Prahlad wanted to maintain his relationship with Hiranyakashipu. So sometimes...
Is there a question here?
Yeah, my question is... yes, my question...
I'm following you so far, yeah. But I haven't got the question point yet. Go ahead.
Yes, this is a prelude. So my question is, essentially, is that sometimes people are so attached to maintaining the relationships that they don't maintain their Krishna consciousness. And so what are some people's, and we see like devotees leave because, I'm trying so in my heart to maintain my relationship with this devotee, that devotee, and therefore my whole mind is disturbed. I can't forgive. I can't tolerate. Then I leave Krishna consciousness because I can't maintain my respect. So how do we respect Vaishnavas at the same time? We shouldn't necessarily be so concerned about always maintaining our relationship, even if we're trying to reach out to our best. So can you elaborate on that?
Well,
dilemma that we always face.
I watched Srila Prabhupada answer this question.
that I was in it. I got to go to lots of darshans of Prabhupada when people ask questions, because I would run the darshans, and that was just another excuse to be able to sit into all of them. So I was like dozens and dozens of ashrams. So Prabhupada said, because this was during a time when all the temple presidents in America were all up at arms with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj was going temple to temple and just stealing all the brahmacharis and putting them into Radha Damodar temple and preaching that, you know, anyone who was in Radha Damodar, you know, it's no offense on them, but that's the situation that was passed. And so some of the preaching was, you know, the grihasthas there, you know, you're not going to make any advancement there. What do they know? You're going to have to come travel with brahmacharis and sannyasis. So it was very attractive. Many, 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 many would come. But then all the temple presidents would, you know, be losing all their manpower, and they'd be going, you know, and so all of a sudden they complained. And I wasn't the vice president of all the temple president at ISKCON at that time. I think I was right after that. But then I would go to those vice president meetings, and it was like, you know, if you're going to the parliament in England, with people getting up and shouting, "We can't do it!" It was like a whole big, you know, complaint session, you know, in Mayapur. So it all went up to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada called, and some devotees couldn't get along with other devotees because this was in one camp, and there were another camp, it was like the Democrats and the Republicans, and they were arguing, "I can't respect this devotee." So they came into Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You should all join kirtan together. If you're not joining kirtan and respecting devotees, then you're committing aparad, and then your devotional kripa will go down." So how to rectify it? Prabhupada had them, you know, you play kartals, you play mridanga, you chant, and you know, so they're beginning Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, and it wasn't very, you know, but later, after by chanting, you know, about 4 minutes, 5 minutes later, it got to this huge ecstatic kirtan. People are dancing, you know, and it's going wild. They didn't care if, you know, which side of the fence they were on, and it was like, that was just erased. So I don't want to do a preview of tomorrow's lecture, but kirtan is the remedy. By coming in, chanting the holy name together with devotees, even if I don't get along with this devotee, if you're forced to chant with them and work with them, then gradually you'll find some reason how you can get along. Because all these things, we have different viewpoints, we have different bodies, we have different mental things, and they're never going to match because those are material. So what do we have to do? Bring it to the spiritual platform. I was always amazed by Prabhupada. Prabhupada would take the most seemingly complicated, difficult material arrangements and just come aloof, just bring it up to the spiritual platform, and all these things would just crash. Because on a spiritual level, all these things are just, they're just like non-important. So what happens when a devotee, "I'm leaving because I can't get along with that devotee." Really, that's usually not the case. "I'm leaving because I'm hounded by sex life, and I, you know, and or I'm breaking all these principles, or, you know, I really need to change ashrams and I can't do it as a sannyasi," and all these, you know, that's the reasons why they're leaving, not because I don't get along with Jai Balaram Prabhu, you know. A lot of times that's the case. So when you melt it down, part of the things, when you see how Prabhupada and some, they bring everything to a spiritual level, and by bringing things to a spiritual level, it's kind of like, yeah, then each of the individuals go, "Yeah, all my $1 miseries were all, you know, mitigated by the $100 bill I got. So I want to get back to the Radha Damodar so I don't commit offense to Tamal Krishna and all the Radha Damodarites who did lots and lots of preaching." But Prabhupada also made him surrender. "You can't preach like that. That's going to ruin our society." And sent him into China. And Tamal thought he was being punished by having to go to China. We look at China and Russia today and stuff like that. There's probably more devotees than even America has. You know, so what we think sometimes is a punishment is really just another opportunity. When I had to go to jail in Bombay for that guy who died, I didn't kill him. I still had to go to Bombay prison. But Prabhupada arranged the whole thing for the month that we were there. We had huge kirtan programs and preaching, and I was in murderer's row with my New York Yankees pinstripe suit, you know, and we're all preaching in that we would have, they turn over their plates, and they'd be playing, you know, tablas on their metal plates. The Muslims would come, and then at 6 o'clock in the evening, there was nothing. There was only fight when I first got there, and I didn't know the difference between the Muslims and the Hindus, and I sat in the middle
in no man's land. And, you know, anyway, the thing happened up. All the chanting. So at 6 o'clock, you're, Allah Kabar. At 7 o'clock, Iba Jaya, Jaya Gora Chan. Then a class. After a few days, we were in the murderer's row, which is separate containment. And then the one behind it, at about 8:30, Jai Ganesha, Jai Ganesha, Jai Ganesha Deva. Then they would go into that thing. And about 9, you'd have to close at 10 o'clock. So about 9 to 10, Om Namah Shivaya. And so all of a sudden the warden came after about a week. The warden comes and goes, what are you doing? And I'm going, I didn't know what to say. I mean, he said, you have turned this whole place into a bhajan kutir. And he said, congratulations. And I'm going, he said, I am Gujarati. He said, I don't have a Gujarati Gita. So I got the message. So I got message out to the devotees, and they came back with Prabhupada's Gujarati Gita. And I got word through the guards that, I want to talk to the warden, And then someone went to warden, there's this prisoner, the Hare Krishna prisoner. He said, he needs to talk to you. Oh, yes, by all means, bring him. So I went present him the Bhagavad Gita. So what happened, we started bringing in the ISKCON Juhu, started bringing in at first. We went on hunger strike. Ruchi Saved and I, we went on hunger strike. So then, that was making the press. And everyone was like, oh my God, you're going to have a hunger strike now in prison. All bad press. The warden was going, this is nuts. So anyway, we went to the doctor. They gave us permission so that the devotees from Jew would bring in buckets of khichdi, a couple buckets at a time. We'd be eating them. And then we'd start distributing it to the Hindus. And then the Muslims start taking it. And then the guards start taking tiffins. And then we got word from the other compartments in the prison. Well, the murderers guys are getting prasadam. How come we don't? So all of a sudden, I get message back. All of a sudden, at the end of the week, we got 15 buckets of prasadam are coming to the Bombay prison, and we're distributing prison. And we had to go to the guards. We couldn't get out of our compartment. But the guards were bribed. They used to bribe them with cigarettes. Now they bring their tiffins. And they get. They get halva, they would get, khichdi and puris. So they were like happy. They would just, we went over, I don't know how much made it to their compounds, but at least, there were buckets. And then all of a sudden what happened? Gita Gyans would coming in, and the Marathi back to Godheads, and the Bengali and the Hindi things. So all of a sudden we're distributing thousands of books, and we're prisoners. We're distributing thousands of books inside the prison. And then we get to go walk around the compound for an hour once a day, right? So in the compound, what do we find? This is India, right? What do we find in the compound? Tulsi Devi is there. I don't know how she got there, but so we had no paraphernalia, so we started, Brindai Tulsi Devi Pye Kesava Sacha. So all of a sudden we're bound down into it, and then my partner Ruchi Savina was there. So either I'd be chanting or he'd be chanting, and others would be, we're offering the incense. Of course, we didn't have any incense. Then we're offering the ghee lamp. Of course, we didn't have any ghee lamp. So at first there was three or four other prisoners, murderers, Hindus that would come. By the second day there were 60. By the third day, even the Muslims were attending Tulsi Puja. And so we have this whole, we're outside and they're supposed to be walking around, and then there's this whole huge gathering around Tulsi, and as we're doing the offering, we're passing when Ruchi would go around and pass the ghee, everyone was going like this. There was no ghee lamp, but then we had passing the ghee lamp around, and everyone's taking pranams in the ghee lamp, And it was like, so what we thought, oh my God, we're having to go to prison for something we didn't do, but a whole big thing, fighting. I was the general manager for the old temple, so I was the guy they put. So I'm having to go from jail to prison, and while they have waiting for the trials, all that kind of nonsense. So in the meantime, it was just another preaching program. We didn't do any of that stuff, so we got out. But I don't ever go into a trial in India. That's like a Disney flick. There's no truth on either side, and they're pretty, it's like, you're talking about what? There's none of this happened, anyway. But that's if you ever go to a, have to go to a trial in India, just like, it's really like a Disney film, a bad one. But what happened after I left, after I got out, and Ruchi got out, we got, it was a big celebration, went back to Juhu, and during that time, when we were in there, Sadaji Whitlal Ball, one of Prabhupada's, he's like Yudhisthira kind of person, tall, had all these sweet shops, and the RSS and the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, they were making big things in the paper. So all of a sudden we were getting, on Sundays, we get maybe 300 people would come. you know, at that time. Now we were getting the next Sunday that we got out in for months, the average Sunday feast, 7,000-8,000 people. We had festivals. We had over 1 million come. We'd never even seen that stuff at ISKCON Bombay. Those of you from Juhu, the temple was just coming up. And just build it. And we were there just when it opened up. And when it opened up, they're lucky there was, 300 people will come. Now, every Sunday, 7,000 were coming. And the festivals, we had big Rathiatra festivals, millions of people would come. And so we're sitting in the jail thinking of this whole thing. And meanwhile, as they're separating, they're sending all things out in the newspaper, big front page ads, riling all the Hindus. All the Hindus in the entire Bombay were all going, yes, these people are trying to attack our religion. So all of a sudden, the ISKCON Juhu became more popular than Mahalakshmi Temple, the Siddhi Vinayak Temple, which is like, they were like the big temples in Bombay. All of a sudden, nowhere out in Juhu were all of a sudden thousands of people coming to the temple. So what we think sometimes is like, oh my God, now I'm having to suffer through all this. Just another preaching program. So, not that I would want to reduplicate it all over again, but, Krishna was very merciful. So should we take things, everything in his service, try to keep, no matter where we're at? We used to be saying, everything's favorable in our environment for Krishna consciousness. We think, oh, my environment, I can't do it. This person's bad and that, I can't do it. No, if you want to do Krishna consciousness, if you want to perform Krishna's activity, the environment's not going to be against you. It appears the environment's against only because when our own desires and things, it's not good for my sense gratification, that gets in the way. But for Krishna, even if we seem the most unlikely, you're in prison and you're confined and you're with a bunch of murderers, and the first day I was there, a guard would came try to beat me up just because I didn't understand when they said everyone's supposed to sit down, and I didn't understand the language, and I stood up, and they thought I was in defiance. So all these guards start coming with lattis, coming to knock me down. And this little, we called him Hanuman, this little guy about 5'2", very muscular, he would be going, Jai Ram, Jai Ram! And he'd be going to tackle the guys and started crashing them, and all of a sudden my first day in prison was a riot. They took him off into solitary confinement, and the next day we were going after when we were doing our fast, we had to go see the doctor. So the guard that was trying to, come and beat me up, he was the same guard that was taking us to the doctor's office outside of the, inside the compound. Anyway, as he was taking us there, somehow this little guy got out of solitary. I don't know what he did. Somehow someone didn't lock him in or whatever it is. He got out from there. He picked up a rock. I just saw a glare from the side as I turned this way, and the guard was up in front of us. He took a rock and just smashed on top of this guy's head. His head just like burst, bleeding come in, and he went face first into the ground. And we're standing there with Ruchi Savin and Mahabodhi and no one. And he ran back and put himself back to where the prison. And we're standing there where the guy's bleeding, blood, probably dying. And there's no one else but us standing. It doesn't look very good, right? So, and then the doctor finally comes. He steps over him and he goes, what can I do for you? I said, aren't you going to help this guy? He's a lifer. What do I care? Lives or dies, no big thing to me. So, whole nother world. But at the same time, even though it seemed very unfavorable, it became one of the huge preaching programs. So we should always take adversity as another opportunity that Krishna has given to us to try to preach. And sometimes we are getting crashed for our own offenses. We may be put into difficult situations, but turn those difficult situations into positive things by wanting to follow the spiritual master and preach, because that's what we're trained for. Doesn't matter if they're prisoners or they're Muslims or they're Hindus or Christians or black or white or green. We're colorless in our mercy, as our gurus before us are colorless in what their mercy given to us. So we should follow in their footsteps, not pretend, but follow in their footsteps, and then all blessings will come to you for sure, no doubt. That answer your question? Yes, Prabhu. Pardon?
Sometimes Vaisheshika says, when he talks, he said, is there a reflection on what's been discussed? So I just have a very short...
Sure.
I have a very short statement. And I have to say that you gave me a heavy flashback when you chanted, Satyananda Vigraha, every time you're chanting, there's great power there. And sometimes it seems like devotees aren't taking full advantage of that incredible potency that you demonstrated so nicely. My flashback was I was remembering how when your brother and I, when Bopadev and I were out at the airport together, sometimes people would spit on us, sometimes they'd threaten to kill us, and it would get heavy, heavy, heavy. I, as much as I could, I always spent time with Bopadev. And what he did was amazing. When it got super heavy, not in other subtle ways too, not so gross and crazy as death and, you know, insults. There were all kinds of things constantly going on. Bopadev would say, come here, come here. And he'd take me over to the seats. And we'd sit down and then we'd chant Brahma Samhita. And because we did it in the way that you demonstrated, we were ready to go. We were ready to go back out.
Yeah. All glorious the book distributors who.
So I'm expressing big gratitude to you, your brother, devotees who can do like that.
Yeah, you can just give it glorious to Bopadev. All glorious Bopadev. For me, I'm a rascal, so I'm just trying to be a devotee, not very good one at that. Any other questions? Any other comments or corrections that I need, that I said something wrong? Probably. No. Thank you very much for tolerating me and for hearing this class. Vanchakalpa tubhyascha kripasindhu bhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo maha vaishnavaski jai. Thank you, Subal and Acharya Nista, for forcing me to do a Bhagavatam class on Saturdays. I'm sorry I'm not a very good one, but at least it was, you know. Hare Krishna. Savrapama ki jana.